Welcome back, WNST, Taos of Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into week two. So after all that fighting and clawing and beating of the Titans, Luke Jones, they're right back to where they were last year, except they're on the road this time going up to Buffalo. What a weekend. It was a super wild card weekend, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I guess that's the new term they're calling it. But for the Ravens, very super. No question about it. And you kind of stole my thunder with what you just said. You think back to where the Ravens were 365 days ago. Franchise record, 14-2 record, 12 straight wins, you know, most in franchise history. We thought of them, and not just here in Baltimore, but the rest of the NFL thought of them as not just a Super Bowl favorite, but the Super Bowl favorite, with apologies to the Kansas City Chiefs, who at that point were the number two seed in the AFC. So you think about what has transpired since then, the loss to Tennessee, everything that happened throughout the course of this season, you know, 1-4 after the bye week, the COVID-19 outbreak, everything. And now, having won 5 in a row to close the regular season and taking care of the Tennessee Titans, exercising some demons there, getting a little bit of revenge there. Where are the Ravens? They're right back where they were 365 days ago as a playoff team, a top shelf Super Bowl contender, not just a Super Bowl contender in the way that everyone who makes the playoffs fancies themselves as a contender, but they're now moving on to the divisional round. And hey, here you go, going to Buffalo. And yeah, you can talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're the defending champs, and they should be viewed in a different light than everyone else. But beyond that, I think the Ravens are right there with everyone else that's vying to get to Tampa. And at this point, now that they've won a playoff game, now that Lamar Jackson has orchestrated a 10-point comeback win in January, why can't you do more now? Why can't you win more games in January? And that's where getting over the hump, so to speak, just opens up the possibilities of any of this can happen. Now, think about it. They are 2 wins away from being in the Super Bowl.
Well, and exactly where they were 52 weeks ago. Luke Jones joining us here. If you just joined us, you just came in. We're flexing our muscles a little bit here this week and getting ready for second round, the Festivus. Luke, I'm going to say that I had my hands. I was out at the radio station all weekend. I had my hands on all the purple floodlights that I bought back in 06. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not breaking mess. But I did go purple shirt today. I did break out the spring golf wear here, hoping that, we're not golfing this time next week. One of the big parts is we're going to go through all the game. We're going to go through Lamar. We'll go through the Titans. We'll go through the Bills and, you know, how they played this weekend against the Colts and what happened with the Steelers and the Browns. But I'd say this, the notion that we're going to Buffalo instead of Kansas City, I don't know. I mean, it certainly feels like that it opens up the door for them to stay alive another week, right? But I think back to Denver and New England years ago, or I think back to where we were. We're going to Nashville when they were the best team and then going out to Oakland and winning. And I look at it now and I say, my God, if the Browns win, they could actually play the game at home. Nobody be there, but they'd have an AFC championship game at home.
Yeah, and I mean, let's face it. The two best teams in the AFC this year were Kansas City, and then by season's end, you had to give Buffalo their props. Buffalo's lost one game since October. That one game was the Kyler Murray Hail Mary out in Arizona. So they were the number two seed. They deserve to be the number two seed, but like you just mentioned with the idea of where the Ravens were 8 years ago, going to Denver and then having another shot at the Patriots. And I say this with no disrespect to the Browns, because look what they did Sunday night, but it kind of felt like if the Ravens were going to get through Tennessee, as they did on Sunday, you were going to face most likely Buffalo and Kansas City. And I still feel like that's how it's going to be if they're going to get to the Super Bowl. But you do put yourself in a situation that the next psychological hangup, the next hurdle they have, so to speak, is what? Getting by the Chiefs in terms of things we've talked about over the course of the last couple of years. So if you delay that a week, but at the same time, if you look at the eyeball test, you could make an argument that Buffalo has been better than Kansas City over the last 6-7 weeks. So be careful what you wish for in that regard. But there is that sense of going up against the Bills, the team that was every bit as hot as them, if not hotter, to close the regular season.
And they played this week, and the Chiefs had an extra week. So, like,
exactly.
I don't know. Do you want a rested team or do you want an unrested? I mean, we've been discussing this since the beginning of time, right? About resting starters and who's more fresh. Ravens look pretty fresh on Sunday. The Ravens look like it was opening day on Sunday to me.
Well, I mean, after the first quarter, I mean, certainly it didn't start out all that favorably. And I think for me, and as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, as much as the focus will be on Lamar's legs and the 48-yard touchdown, and I mean, we'll get to Mike Vrabel's decision on 4th-and-2 with 10 minutes ago, which I thought was awful.
And it happened twice in the same day.
Cost his team the football game, ultimately, or whatever chance they had left of winning the football game. But I go back to the final play of the first quarter. Think about it. The Ravens are down 10-0. On the previous drive, Lamar Jackson had thrown the interception. You're in a position where you're facing a 3rd-and-7. You're in your own territory. You're in danger of having a third straight empty possession to start the football game. And if you punt the football back to the Titans at that point, you're giving them a chance after your defense had just been on the field for more than 10 minutes in the first quarter to open up a 3-score lead early in the second quarter if they put together another drive. I mean, you think about that. As much as we talk about, you know, one play does not make a full football game, we also know that every play affects the ultimate sequence of events in a football game.
Well, how about the Steelers? The ball goes over his head on the first play, and they never got up. I mean, maybe they got up at 11 o'clock at night, maybe sort of, kind of. But to your point, how do you fall behind early? Well, you know, the Ravens did it, and the Steelers did it early, quickly.
Well, they did.
Very quickly.
They did. But going back to the play that I was talking about, when it's 3rd-and-7, which is not generally a place the Ravens want to be very often, 3rd and medium to long distance, well, Lamar Jackson faces the blitz. He escapes, he rolls to his right, and he finds Mark Andrews for a first down to close the first quarter, which to me was just an enormous play right there. Now, they didn't score a touchdown on that drive, but what happens after that? They move the ball down the field. They take some time off the clock. They give the defense a chance to regroup, a chance to kind of figure out what Tennessee was doing with their passing game, and they get a field goal out of it. So suddenly it's 10-3. You're only down 7 points. It's a 1-score game. Your defense just had a chance to catch its breath. And what does it mean for the football team? It slows the heartbeat, so to speak. Even though John Harbaugh said that no one blinked on the sideline and Derek Wolfe said no one blinked on the sideline and no one was paying attention to the scoreboard, you know very well, because these are all human beings and there's the human element and the psychological element to this. When they fall behind 10-0 in the first quarter, you know, even if it was for a split second, there were coaches and players on that sideline thinking to themselves, oh man, here we go again. Are you kidding me? Even if just for a second, and then they get back to it.
Well, Lamar had that moment right before the run, right? I mean, Lamar was pounding the ground in the bottom of the pile when he got caught, right? And on the next play, he broke the 48-yard touchdown play. That frustration, that visible, we're getting our ass kicked and we don't know what to do about it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we've seen that look. Over
right.
The last 2 years, when they've lost, they've gone into a little bit of a hole, led by their leader to some degree, sloppy tackling on the other side. I mean, you know, this team, if they lose this week in Buffalo, I promise you that'll be the story. It'll be Lamar pounding to the ground, down 13 points, interceptions, things going wrong. I mean, we've seen that script and we've seen it get out of hand. It didn't get out of hand on Sunday. As a matter of fact, they got a... That play, that Mark Andrews play you talk about, really did turn down the heat on the water. You know what I mean? It sort of leveled things out a little bit to say, all right, we're in this game. Because one thing they haven't been done is blown out by the Titans, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you don't complete that pass to Mark Andrews, again, there's 3 quarters of football left. So I'm not going to sit here and say they lose the game. But the scenario presents itself that you're punting the ball back to the Titans. You're already down 10-0. Your defense, which struggled in the first quarter, and we know they were dominant after that, but at that point, they're going back on the field, and what are they thinking? All right, Lamar, offense, what are we doing here? Guys, you're facing one of the worst defenses in the NFL, and you know we're trying to stop Derrick Henry, a 2,000-yard rusher, and you know, this Tannehill guy makes plays with play action. So you just know that there's that possibility that things can snowball at that point. But Andrews makes the catch, a terrific throw on the run from Lamar Jackson, a terrific catch on the sideline. And from that point on, again, that was the deep breath moment. You know, they didn't score on that play. They still had to move the ball a good bit to get in the field goal range for Justin Tucker at that point. But once that happened, everyone exhales and says, okay, we're playing a football game. We got off to a bad start in the first quarter, but we're fine. And that was a moment that they never had in last year's playoff loss. They give up the touchdown early on after the interception. They get stuffed on fourth and inches. And the next play, what happened? Tannehill throws a touchdown, a deep ball, and it's 14-0, just like that. And you're shell-shocked. And at that point, you could just tell that they were in trouble. And not that the score was out of hand, but they were in trouble. So the
Andrews they were in trouble down 10-0, right? I mean, to your point, they were in trouble.
But you're really not, unless you don't make a play to turn the tide a little bit. I mean, it's not as though the Mark Andrews play was a Hail Mary, a 60-yard fluke of a play. It was a tremendous play made by your reigning MVP quarterback and your Pro Bowl tight end from a year ago. So it's not as though that was an impossible play, but it was such a critical play because you don't want it to get to a point where Tennessee has a chance to go up 17-0 and then you're really starting to feel it. And that's where, at that point,
or you make a mistake, like a fumble, or the ball goes off the 8 and the 9 and up into the air and goes back the other way. Ask Roethlisberger about that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's so that was just such a critical play. And look, there were plenty of important plays over the course of 60 minutes, but I still look at that play as the play that calmed things down early on. And then you're fine. Then you're playing three more quarters and you get a field goal. You're down by 7 points. No big deal. And at that point, that's where you are able to calm yourself down and you're playing a game. And then at that point, it was all Ravens. I mean, think about it. From that point, Tennessee had, I think, around 80 yards over the final three quarters. They had one field goal over the final three quarters. And not that it was a dominant offensive performance in terms of points scored. I mean, the Ravens scored 20. That's nothing special, but they controlled the tempo. They played their style of game. They rushed for over 230 yards. Lamar Jackson did his thing in spectacular fashion.
The game was over 3:45.
Yeah. I mean, that's
how they win.
They were able to impose their will. And on the flip side, and maybe it's just the Ravens-Titans playoff lore, another 2,000-yard rusher, as was the case with Jamal Lewis in 2003 playing at home against Tennessee, absolutely shut down by the opposing defense. And kind of eerie to see what the numbers were. I mean, you go back to 2003, Tennessee held Jamal Lewis to 35 yards on 14 carries. The Ravens held Derrick Henry to 40 yards on 18 carries.
By the way, that was the game where Schwartz locked me in the office down with the Titans and made me watch it. So,
right.
Because he was the architect of holding Jamal to 35 yards that day.
No question.
Anthony Wright may have played a role in that, by the way.
Well, Anthony Wright didn't get much help, though, is the point. And Anthony Wright wasn't the quarterback that you're wanting to put it all on his throwing arm.
I'm trying to think of who the skill position players were on that team. It probably wasn't.
Todd Heap was the top receiver. And they had, as a tight end. And they had Travis Taylor, who was okay at best that year, and Marcus Robinson, who had a great game against Seattle, but not a whole lot beyond that. He played pretty well. Remember, he had a little bit of a rapport with Anthony Wright, but kind of amazing once again in this rivalry that how I feel about Ravens Titans. As I said to you last week, Ravens Titans was Ravens Steelers before Ravens Steelers, quite frankly. I mean, it really was.
It was our first rivalry, sure.
99 through 2001. It was every bit as nasty as what Ravens Steelers would become at its nastiest moments. The road team wins, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. The road team wins. The team that's, even though in this case the Ravens were the.
It's uncanny, right? Five games, right?
Yeah, this is the second time in the wild card. Most of the time, these teams are playing in the divisional round, and one team's the number one seed. So not quite those circumstances, but hey, it was the Titans playing at home. Yes, Vegas had the Ravens as the favorite, so it's not as though you view it as an upset on Sunday, but just
Ravens are dogs in Buffalo, by the way. So
they are.
Two and a half point dogs.
And they should be. And they should be because, again, as much as people will look at it and say, okay, we even just talked about it a few minutes ago. Yeah, they're avoiding Kansas City and delaying that for a potential AFC championship showdown. But anyone who's watched the Buffalo Bills over the second half of the season, don't be happy you're playing them either because they're playing darn good football. And they had their choppy moments against Indianapolis, but that was a reminder to me that it's the second season. The playoffs are a different animal than the regular season. And who's learned that lesson more than anyone over the last couple of years? It's the Baltimore Ravens. So looking forward to a great matchup in Buffalo Saturday night. Already saw it's going to be cold. Saw there's a early I don't know how much you put into it, because there's a chance of snow showers every day in the winter in Buffalo, but it's going to be cold. But
it's not going to be like 10 below. It's going to be 30 degrees. Right?
Yeah.
I checked the weather because I have a flight and I move things around. I wanted to ask you about this, and this isn't just a point spread question, but this is just more an ideological question, which was, we've watched over the last 5 weeks that they beat up bad teams. They barely beat Cleveland, and, you know, the whole Lamar running to the bathroom and the IV and the cramps and all of that. And what really happened, of course, whether toilets were flushed or not. But winning 20-13 in the playoffs, that's how you win playoff games, right? Like, the notion you're going to win 45-6, all things aside of what Cleveland did to Pittsburgh early in the game, when it was 35-7, sometimes those things go off the tracks and there's 51-0 games. I was at one of them. I gave Amy Trask a hard time over the weekend. I found my Oakland Raiders Bills championship game ticket from the Jay Schrader mess up there. Well, watching the Buffalo game and going to Buffalo this week, I'll probably write a little bit about that this week and talk about it here. But the notion that when you get to this point, dude, winning by, you know, fractions is fine at this, literally, like, there are only wins and losses when you're doing it on the road, but it is hard to sort of be impressive and say, well, the Ravens are going to put up 40 against this awful Titans defense before the game and stand a little disappointed that it didn't go better. I was a little disappointed with the Ravens defense early in the game, and I think that's something we need to speak about, because the new enemy is Hia Turp, Stephon Diggs, and Allen, and what they did to the Ravens last year in December, 13, 14 months ago now, that we're going to be looking at that matchup and saying, you know, how good are the Ravens? And your headline at Baltimore Positive when I woke up on Monday morning, you know, tracking insurrection amongst other things, had to do with the fact that they're now a Super Bowl contender and they've sort of arrived. I would feel more like they arrived that they would have beaten the snot out of Tennessee. They didn't, and that's okay, and that doesn't mean anything for Saturday night. But just on a, can they go to the Super Bowl? Can they win a Super Bowl? Can they beat their kryptonite in Kansas City next week if they get through Buffalo? We all sort of thought they were going to Kansas City this week, right? That the effort was impressive enough to me to make them an underdog in Buffalo, right? You're getting value with the Ravens this week if you really think, like you do, that they've arrived and they're back to sort of being where they were last year.
Well, I mean, it comes down to this. No one's guaranteed. I mean, just because you say someone's a Super Bowl contender doesn't mean they're going to go out and do it. You're expressing the belief that they can.
Well, they were a double-digit favorite this time last year. Now they're an underdog on the road. The perception is, they won 20-13. Lamar's awesome and the defense is okay, but they're not as good as they were last year, and they certainly aren't going to beat Kansas City, and Buffalo's a hot team, right?
The defense was great on Sunday. After the first quarter, it was tremendous. I mean, let's not, because Tennessee's not at Kansas City's level, or in my opinion, at Buffalo's level, that's still a top five caliber offense this year. They had a 2,000-yard rusher, and even though in terms of volume with their passing game, you have to look at their passing game as you look at the Ravens' passing game. What does the efficiency look like? What does the yards per attempt look like? And from those metrics, that was a top six, top seven kind of passing offense that they just stopped. Now,
I thought they could win a Super Bowl. I mean, maybe not their defense, but I'm not anti-Tannehill. I mean, the more I've gone into Tannehill, the more I'm like, Flacco-y, Stafford-y, Ryan-y, you can win with that guy, for me. I think he was sort of, his reputation got smudged in Miami in that way. In the same way, probably Trubisky's is smudged now, though, you know, he was no great shakes on Sunday.
Well, I mean, Ryan Tannehill was in Miami and, you know, for a couple years looked like he was going to be the guy there. And then after that, it kind of subsided and, you know, you had different coaches and it didn't work out. You know, he's a guy that's in a good situation. And that's the case for most quarterbacks. I think other than the rarest of the rare talents, you're talking about guys who need to be in the right situation, the right system, have the right coaches, the right players, or, you know, right skill players around them. Certainly the offensive line matters, but yeah, I mean, that's a Tennessee offense that played at a very high level. And, you know, so what I saw from the defense, I mean, even, okay, they struggled in the first quarter. They gave up 10 points. They didn't give up three touchdowns in the first quarter.
Well, let me say this. It's the first time he's really had the whole defense kind of together in a long, long time, right? And kind of healthy, right? We talk about what Campbell and Brandon Williams represent on a Sunday afternoon. That's the difference there, is that you can stop Derrick Henry, stop a decent offense, stop big receivers, because we're built that way when you have Jimmy Smith and other guys out there, and pitch a 13-point January game on the road, right? I mean, that's almost Ray Lewis turf, right? I mean, 13-point game on the road. That's you'll win every week if you're doing that, literally.
Sure, and to expect them to hold Buffalo to 13 points, to hold Kansas City to 13 points, probably not realistic. And in fact, isn't realistic based on just, it's really tough to do that multiple weeks in a row. But at the same time, and this goes back to what I said earlier in our conversation, when you've done it, when you've accomplished that in January against a legitimate team, and say what you want about the Tennessee Titans in terms of their defense and what it meant for their Super Bowl chances, they were the AFC South Division champions, and they were a team that beat them last year and scored 28 points against them last January and came back from a double-digit deficit in the second half in November. So it's a feather in your cap. It's a notch in your belt, so to speak, to say, look what we just did. That's not to say that you're satisfied with that, but it gives you that mental lift if you're in a position where you're down 10 points in Buffalo, or heaven forbid, down 10 points in Tennessee, or in Kansas City, excuse me, that now you have this to kind of rest on a little bit in terms of the mental makeup, in terms of overcoming some adversity. And, you know, we've talked about that throughout the year, the way this team's been tested, the way this team went through a much more difficult path to get to this point again, unlike last year where everything went, for the most part, almost perfectly after late September and a couple losses. So, you know, it's a case where they won 20-13. You don't put too much stock into the eyeball test. And, you know, as much as you could point to the first quarter, or you point to, hey, they only scored 20 points against a lousy defense. It's not how this works in January. I'll remind you, Kansas City was down by 10 or more points in each of their playoff games last year, and they won the Super Bowl. Was that the script for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes? Of course not. You don't want to fall behind by 10 points, or in the case when they played Houston, they fell behind by, 21 points, 24 points, whatever it was. I mean, it was a huge deficit early in the game. So you can't plan for things to go perfectly. You can't plan to just look at your scoring average or your defensive points allowed average in the regular season and say, oh, that's what's going to happen in the playoffs. That's why you play the games. And that's where, if you're the Ravens, you love what happened on Sunday. It wasn't a perfect performance. And that's where you take some confidence moving forward that, no, they didn't have a great first quarter. And they got off to a slow start on both sides of the ball in the first quarter. And they won the football game. And they won on the road. And they beat a team that had their number the last couple years. So from that standpoint, you go into Buffalo. And, yeah, the Bills deserve to be the favorite based on the body of work in 2020. But I don't think the Ravens have anything to be scared of, especially now. You've won a playoff game. You've beaten a playoff caliber opponent. You've come back from a 10-point deficit in January on the road. So other than the potential opportunity to slay the Giant in Kansas City next week, and that's, of course, assuming you take care of business against Buffalo, there's nothing you look at this point now with the Raven, if you're the Ravens, and say, oh, I don't know if we can do that because of what they accomplished on Sunday. It's just, it's that next checkpoint that they've accomplished. You know, we talked about this a little bit with what happened in Cleveland on that Monday night and Lamar Jackson coming back, and, you know, they take the lead and Cleveland ends up tying it up, and then they drive again and kick the game-winning field goal. How we talked about how that was an important step for them. You know, this is another one. And, you know, now the narrative shifts from, can Lamar Jackson and this era of the Ravens win a playoff game? Can they come back from 10 points down? Yeah, because they just did those things. So now everything else ahead of them seems a little less daunting than it did before Sunday's game.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke out on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere you are, and in Owings Mills and in press conferences and asking Lamar Jackson questions, and I'm asking Derek Wolfe questions. You can check all of our coverage out at Baltimore Positive. You're on our text service. You're getting all the updates during the week. We are getting ready for Buffalo on a Saturday night. We are going to be covering all things democracy and impeachment here this week. Don Mohler's joining me for that. So a little bit of split coverage around here. Big things going on, certainly for Festivus this week. No bus trip to Buffalo. Luke, I don't know if you're happy or sad about that, but I would give you all week talk. But the last question, I'm trying to think, like, what am I going to do for fun in Buffalo for an hour on a Saturday afternoon? What do you think?
wings from the Anchor Bar, I guess, takeout.
I'm just hoping we don't get three feet of snow or something like that. But
there's always a possibility.
Well, you know, I've been going to Buffalo for playoff games for almost 40 years now. So I'm going to go back into the Wayback Machine, tell some stories this week. We're going to go up to Buffalo and talk to some of our friends up there as well. It's going to be a big, big week around here. Festivus. For the rest of us, I'm Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. Tass in Baltimore, we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.